have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, begin reading with verse 9. The writer said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ, Jesus Christ. For I was the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your love. For God, we believe you to touch right now and minister in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to speak to you for just a few moments this morning on a subject I'd simply entitled Exiled to Patmos. John had his Isle of Patmos. Paul had his Marmatime prison. John Milton had his blindness. John Bunyan had the Bedford jail for 12 years. None of which of these is appealing to us. We have our handicaps, our jails, our real or imagined infirmities and problems, our adversities. In English literature, I remember having to read a thing by a guy named Longfellow. I don't know if I want to call it a poem, but we had to read it. Matter of fact, we had to memorize some of it. It simply said, be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind every cloud, the sun's still shining. Thy fate is common, fate of all. In each life, some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. But if it's got to rain, my question is, why has it got to pour? And if we've got to have storms, why have they got to be supercells? Somebody said, well, now, preacher, you know, if you live right, you won't have those problems. If you're in God's will, you'll never have a trouble, a trial, or a tribulation. Now, you can listen to them TV preachers if you want to, but I got a Bible that pretty much lets me understand that's not true. I believe Paul was the Apostle Paul when he was thrown in a Marmatime prison. He was the Apostle Paul when his boat sunk. He was the Apostle Paul when he got snake bit. I remember the disciples were told by Jesus, get in the boat, launch out to the deep. They were going where he told them to go, doing what he told them to do, and they hit a storm. So you can listen to these guys and tell you you're never going to have a problem, trouble, or trial, but those same guys won't be honest with you. The reality is, as long as we're in this world, trouble can come. Problems are going to happen. It doesn't matter whether you're a great child of God or you're not a great child of God. The Bible said the same things accomplished in the world will be accomplished among the brethren. So you see, church, what I'm trying to tell you is trouble is not uncommon. I read a book one time, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Amen. I know there's a lot of people don't want to hear that, but the truth of the matter is circumstances are part of life. Things happen to us. Storms are going to come. I know some of you are going to sit there and say, well, I ain't had one. You just ain't seen the forecast. Glory. Amen. It could be a telephone call. It could be a doctor's report. But somewhere down the line, if you hadn't had one yet, there's some rain coming. Oh, but if I just knew who Jesus was. Well, John knew who Jesus was. This guy walked with him for 3.5 years. He's seen him heal, save, raise the dead. The many miracles he performed. He was there when he fed the 5,000. All these things happened. He was there in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell. He preached the gospel with the best of them. As a matter of fact, he's on the Isle of Patmos because he's a preacher. He's not there because he done something wrong. He was honest when he said, I am here for the word of God and for my testimony. He pastored a church at Ephesus for nearly 70 years. And now at 90 years old, he's got his life thrown to the place that he's in jail. Well, preacher, do you really think that? Yeah, you don't have to be doing wrong for things to go wrong in your life. I used to hear preachers say, well, buddy, I'd stay prayed up, because if you don't stay prayed up, something's liable to happen to you. You can stay prayed up and something's liable to happen to you. I believe Jesus was prayed up. They still crucified him. And all this stuff about how much you're going to have if you live right, Jesus said, the fox have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had to borrow a tomb to be buried in. And here we are thinking we're just going to get so rich we ain't going to have to worry about nothing. Come on, church. Paul lived in some types of abject poverty at times. He had to stop and go back to work every once in a while, make some money, keep his ministry going. Hello? Listen to what the Bible says about Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? See, I wish I could tell you that if you get in the spirit and live that way all the time, every day, you know, that everything's going to be wonderful and we'd all do that. But if you was to talk to my wife and people's been around me, sometimes you find out it ain't top, but it don't happen that way for me all the time. Hello? Shock and despair has run across some of your face. Amen. See, sometimes, like when I'm driving down the road and I get cut off, I come home and things have gone wild. I'm having a hard day on the job. Hello? Somebody says, you have a hard day on the job? Sure. You know, the thing you need to understand is an old saying. We preachers are borderline human. And there are times that we are more human than we are spirit. Hello? John was placed by the Roman emperor on Patmos. He was placed there because of his work for God. Hello? He was being persecuted like all the other Christians, those that Nero had burned at the stake and been crucified. People have been killed over the years because of the stand they took for God. They attempted to kill John by boiling him in water and oil, but he wouldn't boil. Can you imagine that old man in that pot of oil? And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not but 50-something, and I'd like to get in a hot pot of oil just to kind of loosen up my joints every once in a while. Amen. I can see him up there going, you know, this feels pretty good. An oil jacuzzi. Glory. They tried to boil him. He wouldn't boil, so they got mad, put him on the Isle of Patmos, left him out there. And there he is in all of his trouble. And let's face it, church, this man John, the one who loved Jesus, he wasn't perfect. You ever notice him and his brother had a nickname? Beonages, the sons of thunder. Amen. Josephus said it might be because their dad was taking the fits of anger, but it also could have been maybe James and John inherited a little bit. And kind of like Peter, every once in a while, they'd lose it. Hello? But now notice something. Even if we're zealous with the scriptures and have problems, Jesus had already got him ready by saying in John 16:33, I have told you of these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, notice what it said. Be self-controlled and alert. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Hello? Listen, church, you need to wake up and realize it is not where you are this morning. It is what you are, who you are, that makes a difference in how you're going to deal with what's going on in your life. in some of the greatest tragedies of my life, I've had to wake up and realize, wait a minute, I am not somebody different. I am still a child of God. I may be here and I may not like it, but my God is still on my side and my God is still with me. And somehow, if I can turn my mind to Him, I've got victory coming on the other side. Could you say amen? Let's look at Patmos. A rocky island, 6 miles wide, 10 miles long. It's a working prison. They put the lowest prisoners out there, and they'd leave them. Didn't have a lot of good water. Today, it's a tourist attraction. If you go find pictures today, they got big 5-star motels out there and all this kind of stuff. But they had to rework everything there to make it work. In 96 A.D., when this man was there, it was a barren piece of rock in the middle of the Mediterranean. It was basically a low-maintenance Alcatraz where they took people and they left them there to die. They had no intentions of bringing them back. They figured this 90-year-old man wasn't going to make it. And yet when they come back, he's not only made it, but he's writing books. He's enjoying the presence of God in his life. And he comes out of there better than he ever went in. Why? Because all of a sudden he realized when he got to that island, I may be here, but I am not alone. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And in him I can live, in him I can move, and by him I will be more than a conqueror. Could you say amen? This wasn't anything new. Many people of the New Testament church were killed or crucified or destroyed somehow because of the stand they took for the gospel. Polycarp was destroyed. Ignatius was eaten up by animals. Why? Because they were told, Caesar is Lord, worship him. And their answer was, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hello? We get bragging sometimes about being Christians. Y'all need to understand the word Christian is used in the New Testament was a derogatory term. They were looking at them going, we're Caesareans. You're Christians. We follow Caesar, the great emperor of Rome that rules the world. You follow Christ, the guy that died on the cross. And yet those that followed the man hanging on the cross would not deny him for the one that was alive because they realized he is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life that can bring me out. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, I don't understand. I'm not going to Patmos, but your Patmos is just some stuff that happens in your life. Like when you get fired from a job, that could be your Patmos. When loved ones are not living right, that can be your Patmos. When we watch as parents and children die, this could be your Patmos. When a loved one is diagnosed with an incurable disease, that could be your Patmos. When you go to work day after day, week after week, and life just doesn't seem to change, and you're trying to figure out where you're going to turn it around, that could be your Patmos. But what you've got to realize is that no matter where you are, what's happening in you, you need to realize it is not about where I'm at. It is about who I am, and it is about who I serve, and it is about who can bring me out. I'm not going to make it because of me. I'm going to make it because of him, because he is my source. He is my supply. He is my strength that carries me in a time of need. Liabilities. Let's face it. He's on the Isle of Patmos. What could a 90-year-old man do on the Isle of Patmos? In circumstances, our liabilities are always magnified. You ever notice you have a problem? Things you can't really do good at always get magnified. The island was adverse surroundings. But now notice this. All he had to look at was the sea. I don't know if y'all have ever been on an island, but it is weird when you look out and all you see around you is water. Hello? If you ever been on an ocean liner, that's another thing. You walk all around that boat and all you see around you is water. You can't see nothing. There is nothing on the horizon. I got tickled one time. I was talking about being on a shrimp boat. We got out where we couldn't see land. Problem with that is if you don't have GPS, you're in trouble because they can't go to Fifth Street and turn right. And if you can't see where you're headed, I'll be honest with you, church, I'm pretty good at directions, but I've been turned around to the point that if it hadn't been the fact I started realizing the sun just changed sides of the boat, I wouldn't have known we were running in a figure eight. That was the only way I could tell we actually turned, because it took such a long time to turn that boat. I didn't feel it, and all of a sudden I realized the sun's on the other side of the boat. Sums up. We have limitations that get lifted. Maybe, you know, here's this 90-year-old man. I don't know, but there's a good chance they didn't bother to put barracks on this island because they wasn't thinking them to live anyway, so they just out there scrambling around trying to find a place to sleep, trying to find food to eat because they wasn't sending them meals. Hello? You know, we got prisoners now. If they don't get a fancy meal every time you turn around on a nice plate, well, they're going to call somebody. Oh, this is horrible. I shouldn't have to live like this. I remember one time they were making them clean up on the side of the road. One of our governors put them out there and had them clean up on the road, and they interviewed one of them and said, what do you think about this? He said, it's horrible. I don't ever want this to happen again. They asked the governor, said, what do you think about that? He said, he's getting the message. We don't want him back here. Don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me. If we give them a nice palace, they're not going to worry about going back. I tell you what, one guy told me in Montgomery, it's a federal prison one time, he said, hey, I do stuff to get back in here. I live better here than I do when I'm on the street. They get great medical help. But I'm going to tell you something, on the Isle of Patmos, it wasn't that way. This 90-year-old man's got to fight for his own food. Got to find a place to sleep. Got to scourge for everything. And let's face it, all day long, all he sees everywhere he walks is rock and water. Nothing to encourage him that a ship's coming to take him home. Amen. But notice something. Some of us, the biggest problem we have is all we can see is our Patmos. It becomes our life. It becomes our reason for existence. Y'all may not believe this, but we have people that could never get healed because they wouldn't have a life if they did. I've told this, but this is an honestly true statement. The Northport Church there was a place there called Northport Family Worship Center. Brother Pat Schatzline was a pastor. One Sunday morning, he felt led of God. He announced, tonight we're going to have a healing service. We're going to spend all afternoon fasting and praying, and we're going to be laying hands on people tonight, believing God for victory. That night, one of his elders didn't show up, and he had his church divided, and each section of the church was led by an elder. He believed those elders to lead them spiritually and to pray for them, and he was expecting that man to be helping him pray. He didn't show up, so after church he called him. He said, hey, why wasn't you here? He said, I couldn't come. He said, I just got my disability started. If I got healed, it'd mess up my whole life. Brother Shastline said, I really felt sorry for him because he's probably one of the few to actually believe something might happen if he showed up. Glory. The reality is that's where some of us are. But notice, in the midst of his Isle of Patmos, in the midst of his great tribulation, he grabbed hold of the word of God. In Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then also what I quoted you a while ago out of John, he said, things are going to be spoken unto you that you might have peace. For in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Your liabilities can be lost when you look at the Lordship of Christ. No matter how great the liabilities are, God has the ability to carry you where he wants you to go. You might be a stuttering Moses, but he's got an Aaron to talk for you just as long as you will follow him. Come on, church. Praise God. Glory. Now, not only do you have liabilities, how about limitations? He's cut off, isolated, out of control. He can't visit his loved ones. They can't write to him. His friends can't come to see him. He can't attend church. He couldn't take a leisurely stroll around the marketplace. He was limited in his resources for study. Everything he's been doing for 70 years is back over there in Ephesus. It's not with him. He don't have parchments. He don't have books. He don't have anything to study. He's just on this island. The limitations have now started controlling him. Many today are isolated by circumstances, cut off from the very things they think they need to get back. And they think that they need to get back to God. Don't fall into a Patmos fixation. You ever notice folks get to having problems and the first thing they talk about, well, I don't believe I go to church today. I just don't feel like it. When you feel like that's when you ought to be here. Hello? What are you talking about? It's getting in the church, feeling the presence of God. John could have sat there and felt sorry for himself. He could have sat there and sweltered in the heat and passed away. But he done something every one of us needs to learn how to do. The Bible said he was in Patmos, a bad place. But it also says something else. He got his mind on God, and the Bible said he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting to that place where we realize this is where I can go. Amen. My limitations can be turned into my liberty when I let God begin to take control of my life, and I understand that I'm not bound by the things of this world. I'm only bound by the mind that does not realize I have a God who can set me free of every stroke, every bondage that comes against me. I've got a God whose anointing can set me free and loose the bonds of chains that bind me down. If I can but get in the Spirit, I have the power, the grace of God to be an overcomer in his glory. Could you say amen? There's a song written years ago by a lady by the name of Madame Guyon. It's called the Prisoner's Song. Listen to this. My cage confines me round. Abroad I cannot fly. But though my wings is closed bound, my heart at liberty. My prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of my soul. Oh, it is good to soar those bolts and bars above to him whose purpose I adore, whose providence I love, and the mighty will to find the joy of freedom of my mind. John thinks back, and suddenly he realizes what Paul told the church at Galatia. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. For he whom the Son of God hath made free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Amen. And not only do you have your liabilities, your limitations, but how about your loneliness? John probably didn't have anybody to go to church with. Well, he could be like that fellow that they found on an island. His ship had wrecked, and they come, and they finally located him 20 years later. And he's looking around, and there's three buildings on the island. And he said, hey, what's that? And he said, well, that's my hut. That's where I live down here by the water so I could keep this signal fire ready in case a boat come by. He said, well, what's that up there? He said, well, that's my church. That's where I go have church every Sunday morning. He said, what's that other building? He said, that's the church I used to go to. John was most likely lonely on an island, separated. And separation is very hard to live with. You know, there was a man got saved in a church one time in Tennessee. I had to pull back where it was at, but it was up in Tennessee preaching, and this guy had gotten saved. He preacher told him off the side, said, hey, I said, tell this guy what you told me. He was noted to be one of the biggest men to hang out in bars in that town that that town had, only he never drank a drop in his life. He didn't drink, but he went to bars, and the preacher said, why'd you go to bars? He said, I was so lonely that I'd go to the bar and just sit around so folks could talk to me and I could hear people talk. You know, we got people in the world that are so lonely, they ain't got a clue what's going on around them. I mean, they wall themselves off. They shut themselves out. Amen. But now, church, the true reality is John turned his loneliness into love. John, 1 John chapter 4. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son unto the world, that we might through him, we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. John learned to turn his limitations to his lordship, to give his liabilities to liberty, and turn his loneliness into a love that transformed him, to make him the writer of the gospel letters he wrote, to reach a lost and dying world. John learned how to be two places at once. No matter how bad the circumstance, I still got God. And in him, I can be an overcomer no matter what's going on around my life. So many times our loneliness and our circumstances brought on by ourselves, something happens and we throw up walls. We shut people out. We turn things off. And we can never, ever get out of the very cities we've walled ourselves in with. Stand with me all over the house. I want to share something with you in closing. There was a gentleman who was an outstanding minister of the gospel. 20-something years he preached, pastored, won souls. But because of circumstances, he turned his back on God. I want to share something that was written in his own hand. Loneliness seems to be mine. We seem to never part. I try to shun sad filled things, but loneliness dwells in my heart. Mid dreams and joyful thoughts each day, there comes a cloud of gloom, darkening my heart and sadness till there is no more room. It follows me to bed each night. It settles there keeping guard. It covers all my happy dreams, making a tender heart sad, making a happy and joyful heart lose all the happiness it had, leaving a mind confused with worry, an empty heart that's sad. Life don't seem to hold much now, but things of gloom and sorrow. Living on seems a thing of doubt, a fear of what really comes tomorrow. Your circumstances block you out, take you away. There's a great epithet to this poem. 1978, the man that wrote that poem gave his heart back to God. He left here living for him. But I knew this man most of my life. All my life, really. Because that poem was written by my father, a backslid preacher who was so lonely. With his friends and family around him, his heart was broken because he didn't have a relationship with God.